Welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio's Vacation Station Travel Show with Nancy and Lisa. Every fourth Tuesday, you know, it's Travel Tuesday, we catch up with travel writer Debbie Stone. We call her the Fire Monkey, but she is joining us today. We always call, you know, even her articles, I look for our articles and files, and they are filed under FM for Fire Monkey. And so, like, I always have a problem because we know her as Fire Monkey, but it is Debbie Stone. She's traveled the world and across the country. And every fourth Tuesday, we get to catch up with her latest destinations. And today she's talking about Wenatchee, Washington State. And apparently she had quite a few amazing adventures, hiking, sipping cider, wine, staying in a beautiful, very luxurious bed and breakfast, going to gardens, playing with a fish place with fish. There's like, she'll tell you about that. But she really had an amazing time. Her article is up on blendradioandtv.com. You can read that. It'll be in the upcoming issue of Vacation Station Travel. But welcome back, Fire Monkey. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, I did not know that you had my things filed under FM.
I know, because sometimes it's true, because there's times I'm like, where did this go? And then it's like, FM. And I'm like, really?
That's hysterical. You know?
It is, like, all your radio show dates and everything, and then sometimes it'll be Debbie, and I'm like, oh, I must have had wine at that time, you know, so that's what happened. But yes, Fire Monkey has stuck with you since Bhutan,
I know.
It's hysterical, but listen, it sounds like, it almost sounds like when you were in Wenatchee, just even the names of places, like, it definitely Native American, right? But
yes.
It seems like you had kind of a European experience, which is cool since you're on your way to Europe next, you know? So
yes. I think, you know, I find it interesting because, I mean, places that you would just not even expect, you know, have definite influences because based on the people who have chosen to move there and live there, and they bring those influences with them, which is really cool. But Wenatchee, a lot of people don't know, like maybe where it is location-wise, but it's kind of like in the center of Washington State. And unless you're really familiar with Washington State as it is, and even some residents in Washington State have like really are kind of vague about where Wenatchee is, but if you do know it, you know it because it is an incredible outdoor playground. And not only that, it's just this bounty of food, of fruit and wine and cider and, you know, all this good stuff and markets and history, the historic downtown. So it's really one of these very all-around destinations that once again flies under the radar, I think. And I think people, a lot of people would really love to hear more about it just because it is one of those places that if you're in Washington State, if you're in Seattle, if you're traveling around and you know, it's only a couple hours from the Seattle area. So it makes for a great, you know, getaway or just a weekend trip or two nights or whatever you would like to spend there. But I found plenty to do there.
You know, we drove right by the signs as we were driving from Linwood, right north of Seattle. And near your Woodinville destination, everybody,
right.
Woodinville is featured in the latest issue of Eat, Drink, Be Merry magazine, and that's a wine destination. So we were right there, and so we were thinking of you everywhere we're driving. We're like, hello, hello, you know, Pike Market. It's funny, actually, even where we are right now in Lubbock, Texas, recording this, the lady, we pet sit as we travel too. We're sitting for, read your article, and she booked she's gone to Pike Market and already taken the tour on her way to Alaska. Yeah,
that's
show
awesome.
Me Seattle. Yeah, yeah. So it's cool. She's going, who's the guide's name? She's texting me as we're driving here. Who's the guide's name? I'm like, it's not us. It was Debbie. She goes, oh, I read this now. It's Debbie. You know, I didn't put FM in the byline. But anyway, it was a Fire Monkey. Anyway, so she went and she had an amazing time. But we were driving here. We could see the signs for Wenatchee and it was really close. And I'm going to tell you that drive to Wenatchee from Seattle is drop dead gorgeous. You're going by Lake Cochise and Snoqualmie, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Snoqualmie?
Yep.
And
Snoqualmie, right.
Yeah, and Roslyn, where Northern Exposure was filmed. So that whole area is amazing. But we went past it and ended up doing Dead Man's Curve at night. That was a whole other thing.
Oh, that's a challenge.
You know where? yeah, that was fun. But it's beautiful because all the mountains, and it just was, I know we've been there years and years and years ago, but driving there just a few days ago, I mean, it's so lush and green, and there's still snow on the mountaintops, and it's just, it blew my mind, because aren't you're able to see the Cascade Mountains. Is that what we were looking at when we were driving there, the Cascade Mountains?
You can go that way, which you took probably I-90 and went over, but I took Highway 2, which actually goes over Stevens Pass, which is into the North Cascades there. And you go past a town called Leavenworth, which is like a little Bavarian community. And then you get to Wenatchee after Leavenworth. But I went that way, and it's equally as beautiful because you're going over the mountain pass. And when we went over there, there was actually, we could see snow, and there was a little sleeting coming. And then as soon as we got to the other side, it was like, sun comes out because you're on the other side of the pass. And Wenatchee is known for its 300 days of sunshine a year, which, you know, for people who are living in Seattle, you know, in the rain belt situation, they are like, hey, you know, we can just go, 2 hours and we'll be right there in this nice sunny area, and it'll be like a totally different weather situation.
That's cool.
Wow. It is amazing. I mean, and you just, I never thought of Washington like having a central like region. I always thought it was east and west. And then we were driving through and knowing, you know, your story of Wenatchee, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. And there's wineries, but this is the apple place, right? This is
The apple capital of the world, actually. It is, you know, and it's been, you know, the apple capital for years. I mean, just apples everywhere, and every kind of type of apple is grown there. So if you went into a market or a store or a grocery store, whatever, or a farmer's market, you would see apples with names that you've never, ever heard of, because they don't, they don't make it to your grocery store or your food outlet or whatever.
Dude.
But there are just so many different kinds of apples. And then, of course, I learned all about apples just because I went and visited a cidery and, you know, heard about the different types of apples that are grown specifically for cider.
Hmm. And that was Union Hill Cider, because that's a cool story too. I mean, that's like a story of entrepreneurship, you know, orcharding. Can you, is there such a thing as orcharding?
I don't know if that's a word or not.
It is today. One was orcharding and one was cidering. Orcharding and cidering.
There's a cidery. I mean, a cidery is like the place of business that, you know, makes the cider, like a winery kind of thing. But Union Hill is very cool. And like you said, it really is a grassroots family and friends type of establishment. And they took all their love of cider, of apple, their knowledge about orchards, and you know, they just kind of put it all together. And it was just, you know, they learned also by doing, and then by talking to other people doing, making cider. And, you know, it's kind of like it's grown, and now it's very well established. And they have this beautiful tasting room with lovely views of the valley. And, and they're getting their cider out in all these different places. So it was exciting to visit them and to learn about them and to see how enthusiastic they are about their product.
That's cool. And you could see the Columbia River from there, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Ooh. You know, you can see the Columbia from a lot of different places. And the Wenatchee River is there. I mean, there's the confluence, which is the confluence between both, you know, the two rivers meeting. And, you know, there's mountains. And it really has everything you would want in kind of a wonderful vacation destination. If you like the mountains, if you like the rivers, you know, if you like wine and you like cider and beer and you like fresh food, I mean, it hits all the notes there.
I want to talk about the fish place that I mentioned. So the fish place, because they've got fish everywhere on the displays and you know, they're everywhere. So this was Rocky Reach Dam and Rocky Reach Discovery Center. I bring this up because when we were in Seattle, every time we went, I think we went to Seattle two or three times. People kept saying, "You need to go to this one place and see the salmon, but you need to go there, but you're there at the wrong time." I'm like, "Well, thanks," but we didn't get to see salmon. Apparently, being able to see salmon is a really cool thing to see them go upstream, or I don't know what's going on. But apparently, this is another. And so this is a salmon. I don't know if you were there at the right time either, but this is another salmon watching place.
Right. They have a couple places, and definitely in Seattle, it's the locks, the Ballard Locks area, which is in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can see the fish, you know, because they've got these salmon ladders, the fish ladders is what I'm trying to say. But Rocky Reach Dam is this, you know, very sizable dam on the Columbia River, huge hydropower source. And what is really nice about it is they created this wonderful discovery center so that, you know, if you want to go and see the dam, which is interesting itself, you can get a view of the dam, but you can also learn about, you know, the whole hydropower scene. It's a great place for kids, all ages, but they do a really good job of explaining it and having a lot of interactive displays and exhibits and you know, different things that kids can do and grown-ups can do. And it was just, I was really impressed with it. I thought it was just going to be this really, you know, kind of tiny little place, and it turned out to be, you know, several levels and a lot of very, very good and well done exhibits.
It seems like, you know, it's like quality of life. And I think that Washington State and Oregon, we know you love Oregon. We do too. you know, but there's this, quality of life about being outdoors no matter what is happening weather-wise. I'm just saying that, you know, residents will get out in the rain, and I'm looking at them going, how are you doing that? But don't give me my coffee. But seriously, I drank more coffee than I've ever had in the Pacific Northwest, but there's a reason. But when you think about these areas, I mean, that area is just so beautiful with, like you're saying, there's a valley, there's rivers, there's trees, there's forests. So getting out and hiking, and you also talking about you can get out on the water too. So you can go to the dam, but then you can also hit the water, like in summertime, you want to get in the water because it does warm up in Washington.
Oh, it gets pretty hot over in that area, and you know, dry too. And so, you know, the rivers are great. People get in their boats, they fish, they, you know, do a lot of water sports and whatever. So that's, you know, definitely you can head for the rivers or Lake Wenatchee. And then it equally as much in the winter, it does snow, and Mission Ridge is their ski resort there, and it's got great powder and a couple thousand acres and beautiful vistas, and people love going skiing over there as well. But the hiking is great. There's tons of different hikes. There's lots of different trails. You can do an urban paved trail that's a bicycle and pedestrian trail, which is the Apple Capital Loop, which is, you know, following the shores of the river. And, you know, it's got outdoor sculptures along the way. You can go to Horse Lake Reserve, which was one of my favorites. You take this winding road up to the top of this mountain, and there are miles of trails up there, and there's the panoramas are just amazing, of the rivers, you know, of the old homesteads. We saw wildflowers there. It was wonderful. So there's a lot of places where you can get viewpoints if you are willing to do just a little bit of, you know, uphill kind of hiking. But it, you know, the rewards I think are wonderful and definitely worth the little bit of exertion there. But you can do as much as or as little as you want. And what's nice is, you know, people who just want to do a pedestrian trail or get on a bike, they've got this, you know, wonderful trail that they have set up in town along the river. So yeah, you know, there's something for everyone.
That is cool. I love those kind of trails, and when they combine them with art, it's, you know, public art. I think that is this extra thing to get out there and do something, and especially with the weather, right? That's what I've noticed about the Pacific Northwest. People get into painting things and making them vibrant, growing gardens that are just full of color, because you need it, because there's gloomy days, but then when the gloomy days move away and give all the plants all their nutrients, then all of a sudden it is just like amazing. I mean, that the Pacific Northwest is insanely beautiful. It is, I mean, incredible. It is just so beautiful. Yeah. So, you know, and I like the center area is cool because it does, like you say, it dries up a little bit. It's on the sunny side of Washington State.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's why people, you know, living in the Seattle Puget Sound area, you know, it's like, okay, let's go over to an area where we know there's probably going to be sunshine because, you know, it's definitely known for that and it's drier. So, but speaking of those gardens, that the one
yeah.
that is there, Omi Gardens, it's called. And it really reminded me of this beautiful little secret garden. It's so stunning. And, you know, I said that it reminded me so much of when I was reading, you know, that book, The Secret Garden, when I was a little girl. And it's just one of those places that's like a little treasure and a little bit of a hidden treasure. And yet it's this wooded wonderland, and it's just north of the city and, you know, on this hillside. And there's all this beautiful verdant foliage, and then there are these incredible little pools and waterfalls, and there's even these there are 53 stone benches that they created, and there's even a little hobbit bench for people,
oh,
tiny
cool.
people, and a wishing well as well. So it's like one of these magical
nice.
Places that I just, you know, you could get lost in and just sit and just look at everything and just have a wonderful, serene moment or two.
Did it remind you of New Zealand when you went to those little hobbit houses, that one place?
Well, you know, that I mean, with the little hobbit thing, yes, in some ways it did, because, you know, little wee ones would enjoy it.
it's yeah, that is so cute, though. I mean, charm and, you know, whimsy goes a long way, you know.
Right,
and
right.
And that is, I love the gardens. And also, so you've got, and this was started like by a couple that just, it kind of grew and grew and
yeah.
grew.
Yeah, and they wanted their own private oasis, and they just did it all by hand and hauled the stone and, you know, transplanted the evergreens, and they used milk cans to water the plants, and you know, but as a family retreat, eventually friends, you know, kind of came, and then, you know, the people proposed that they, you know, open it to the public because it was so special. And so they eventually sold the gardens to Washington State Parks to preserve them, which is wonderful. So the public can go and, you know, see this splendid oasis.
Wow. So that's interesting when you think about that, you know, how it ends up being in a park, state parks. And,
yes.
and Washington
yeah.
State Parks are, you get a discovery pass.
Yes.
And it's, you could go to one, and I mean, there's a lot, I don't know how many they have in the park system, but when we did Whidbey Island and stuff, you could use that same pass, the discovery pass, and just go from one park to the next park in a day. And
right.
you, if I think it's like $30 for a year or something, and you can get it,
I'm
even
not
when
sure,
you,
but it's reasonable,
yeah.
if, especially for somebody who really likes and appreciates the park system.
Oh, I know, if you can, and I think it's, oh, I hope I'm right about the state, but I think if you live there, you can get the park pass, the annual park pass, when you mm-hmm. renew your tags, your car tags, which I think is
oh.
cool. You
yeah.
know, so
it's great idea.
I know. Yeah. So you just, you know, for families, it's one of the best, most cost-effective things to do. But I do yeah. want to know about the downtown, because when you think about a place with orchards and apples and ciders and, you know, the downtown to me and nature, it seems like the downtown to me should be one of those historic downtowns. What is it like that?
And it is. It is totally
cool.
like that. It
cool.
is one of those, you know, very charming, quaint places where you can stroll around and see, you know, a bunch of very eclectic stores, you know, some art galleries. There's this antique mall that's insane with like multiple floors of collectibles and vintage. And then, you know, it's also fun because, and also, by the way, it's on the National Register of Historic Places. So they really are doing a good job of trying to preserve it. But they've brought in, you know, really interesting options for people who are interested in dining downtown. And there's a lot of great places, you know, everything from, you know, pubs to, you know, more top of the line food and more farm to table type of food. And then they also have the Pybus Market, which I found to be really cool. It's this indoor marketplace that is really showcasing the bounty of the region, and as well as the crafts and not only the food, but the crafts and the art. And, you know, you can dine on all sorts of different things. And when I was there, I did. I went to a couple different places. I was like, I want to sample these stuff.
I love that.
But it's
I
good.
Love that.
Good food. Good food, that, you know, and you know it's farm fresh and, you know, a lot of organic, and it just, I don't know, it just, I love that, because, I mean, mm-hmm. it's fun to eat in good places and eat fresh stuff and eat stuff that's indicative of the area that you're visiting, you know.
Mm. I agree. And so you've got all kinds, you went from wood-fired pizza to, you know, you found fish, apparently. You always find
yes.
fish, Debbie.
Well, I love
fire
fish.
Monkey. I just called you Debbie. Oh my God, everybody, I just called
Uh-oh.
Her Debbie.
Uh-oh.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-oh.
No, wait, the fish eating fire monkey. There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
So you found your fishies. So what kind of, was it seafood more, or did they do more like salmon and fresh fish? Like
a lot of different
freshwater
things.
Fish, I should say.
One of the places that I loved was Atlas Fair. It's this very cool restaurant, but they had, like, you know, shrimp ceviche. They had, it was a little bit of Thai in there because the chef is Thai. There was, you know, coconut fried rice. There was this incredible crab chowder, and there was clay pot prawns and shrimp and grits, and, you know, but you could get, I mean, other places, pizza, brats, you could get incredible, you know, avocado toast, which is, you know, is another one of my, like, favorite
mm-hmm.
things. And, you know, they had even this Italian-style gelato at this place called Ice, which was in the market. And so, you know, anything, like what I said, it's really a place where, you know, you can find pretty much
mm-hmm.
everything. And, you know, you're not going to find, like, tons of restaurants serving other, you know, the same things. But you'll find these little restaurants that I like, because they aren't chain restaurants. You know, they are people that chose to either, they're natives that are living there, that are residents full-time, people that chose to move there and open a restaurant. So you get a really interesting group of people mm-hmm. that have opened businesses there.
I love it. Now let's talk about the lodging, because, you know, we love bed and breakfasts and historic inns, because they
oh, yes.
tell the history of who was there. And I think bed and breakfasts do such a good job of keeping the story of whoever built the house, and then
yes.
who, and part of the community story from back then, you know what I mean? So it looks like Warm Springs Inn. Not only is this an inn, this is my dream. There's a winery at the inn, Nancy.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It's our
and,
style.
And the owner, it's owned by a couple, but man owner is a professional chef who had restaurants in Seattle, and it's like that his name is Ludger and it's Ludger Smania and his wife Julie Smania, and they are such welcoming and hospitable hosts, but they're so interesting and great stories. And they bought this inn dates back to 1917, and they have, you know, they updated it a little bit but kept the historical integrity to it. And it's drop dead beautiful on this, right on the river, next to these cherry orchards. Has its own resident peacock, which is fascinating.
I was going to ask where the peacock
chickens.
Was.
Yeah, and Prince.
Nancy.
Prince is his name. And he just showed up one day, basically, according to Julie. He just showed up and has stayed there, and they feed him, and he stays outside. He peers into the windows. He walks around. He'll spread his bloom of feathers, and he gets along with the chickens, and it's wonderful. So if you're sitting out on the deck, you can observe this whole, you know, menagerie of creatures. There's a dog and, you know, cats and, you know, all sorts of
things. Oh, this is our style. Like, we,
this is
when
our
can
style.
We
move? Totally, yes.
When
yes.
can we move
you
in?
Yeah, you can create it, like, if they need a pet sitting thing. This is
yes.
perfect for you.
This is,
yes.
I, you know, but I mean, I would like the food. I would like the restaurant mm-hmm. side of it. I would, because if you had Eggs Benedict, you know how, you know, when you get a Benedict in a B&B, it's like a special, that's a special.
Mm-hmm. He was amazing. Oh. I mean, the breakfasts were like these multi-course, you know, meals that, I mean, you know, you start with the crepe with the fresh apples and cherries from the orchard, and then you get this slushy, the strawberry and passion fruit slushy, and then he made apple strudel for us, and then, you know, then it was like, you know, eggs and you know, sweet potato hash, and I mean, it was like, it was amazing. And then he's also, you know, it's wonderful because it's a winery, and they started the winery, and so he will do wine tasting there, not only for the people who are staying there, but, you know, the public can come and you can do a tasting there. And so it's it's a wonderful place. I mean, you really, I almost don't even have to leave this place to be able to really enjoy yourself. And in fact, they get a lot of repeat guests that come and just hang, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, you know, Seattle being so close, and even Portland in a way is not a bad drive, you know, that,
absolutely.
Just, you know, the executives and the burnout of the city, just, you just want to sometimes get to a place, have peace and quiet, be in nature, and play with peacocks and wine. And, you know, because the views from there, they're insane.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's gorgeous. And the rooms are lovely. Just beautiful. Yeah.
And they do weddings.
They do a wonderful job. And they do weddings there. And it's just, they've set up, they have a lovely gazebo area. I mean, it's just one of those picture perfect places, you know.
I know your gazebo photo has to go to our friend Jim for his gazebo blog. I saw that gazebo and I'm like, if I don't share this with Jim, he's going to yell, you know. You know how many times I've emailed you, like, Jim wants the gazebo.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, give me the gazebo. Just link it back to the article. The gazebo blog.
I know.
That's the view. It's like, that's a real gazebo, not a fake gazebo.
No, that's a real gazebo
with a real view. No. So, like, that's a special thing. That is cool. And so,
that's
everyone
terrific.
At the inn, go to warmspringsinn.com. And also for Wenatchee, go to visitwenatchee.org. And that's WENATCHEE, Wenatchee. And also, again, the story is up on blendradio and TV.com. You'll see in the upcoming issue of Vacation Station Travel Magazine, because, like, who doesn't want to travel there? And of course, keep up with Debbie. The fish eating
fire monkey.
Dude, this is who sometimes goes on a boat. Just saying. This is going to get, I mean, your byline is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and longer. And if you ever do a champagne Sunday show or a happy hour show, there's no way I'm going to be able to say any of this, you know, with a glass of wine or champagne. It's just going to be all, you know, go read everyone. But Debbie's on the
show. It's easy. It's Debbie Stone, the fish eating fire monkey that once went on a boat.
Yes. Or more. Yeah. So every fourth Tuesday, Debbie is here on Travel Tuesday to give us an update on her adventures. Her next adventure she'll be talking about is Hot Springs, Arkansas, one of our favorite places. And then after that, the monkey is swinging off to Europe. And she'll be finding more fresh fish in Europe. So, you know, we'll be catching up with you then. So looking forward to our next conversation, and have fun, Fire Monkey. Thanks so much.
Will do. Thank you lots, lady. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Travel safe.